Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Thanks for coming back to my channel. And I'm marking the 150th anniversary of the Battle of Little Bighorn, Custer's last stand. One of the last, perhaps the very last victory of Native Americans against the United States Army. So I fought the end of June, was it 25th to 26th of June, 1976. It derives its name from the local river, the Little Bighorn River. I wanted a translation of the name in the local Native American language. So the Crow Indian Reservation was there in Montana. It was a territory, not a state, until sometime later, because, you know, being a territory can be a, what is a candidate status for full absorption in the United States. The US Virgin Islands, Guam, Puerto Rico, and still are still stuck in that limbo. Anyway, so that was the biggest battle in the Great Sioux War that was fought that year. The Sioux were a Native American tribe in the north central part of the United States. So we know that the first English town in North America to last was Jamestown, Virginia, founded in 1607. Obviously, it was the American Revolution, the center for Little Bighorn. The white Americans talk about manifest destiny, and then they expanded westwards towards the Pacific Ocean, eventually absorbing all the territory in between. But I won't give you a blow-by-blow account of that. I say white Americans, there were very few Hispanic Americans, you know, then. Okay, 1848, all those states taken off Mexico, more were brought in. African Americans denied their rights until the 1860s, well, really into the 1960s. And there were African Americans in the U.S. Army, but they were severely discriminated against. Sometimes there were treaties between the United States government and the Native Americans. The U.S. government sometimes reneged on these. The Native Americans weren't a monolith. There are many different nations often fighting against each other, and some of them gradually subsumed into mainstream American society. A lot of Native white Americans will tell you that they're part Indian, as they used to say, descended from whatever tribe. And often they are, but it might be sort of 1/16th or 1/32nd. Can't be full members of the tribe, get whatever educational benefits are entitled to them. Anyway, some of the Native Americans said that the US government was in breach of its treaty, was intruding into wherever, or was it the other way around? So war broke out. I don't know the rights and the wrong of it, really. And that was the war. So General George C. Custer was in there. Sorry, George Armstrong Custer. And he was a lieutenant colonel. He passed out of West Point, the U.S. Military Academy, with loads of demerits, wasn't he, bottom of his class. He'd been promoted during the American Civil War because the army expanded a lot, plus some people were killed, and so on. So the 7th Cavalry went there. Most of it a lot of it was annihilated. He was there. Two of his brothers were in this unit, and his brother-in-law, and his nephew. So 268 dead, 55 severely wounded. Now, they had some Crow Native American scouts on their sides, and Arikara scouts on their side, who also functioned as interpreters at times. Even some of their horses were killed. So, goodness. That was it. So it was something of celebration for some of the Native Americans. So the Native Americans, they had firearms at this stage. Obviously, weren't very well trained how to use them. Often had a shortage of ammunition and so on. So they had to use speed and surprise, whereas the U.S. military were much more mechanical and had to have, you know, discipline, firepower, some strategy, whatever, communications, obviously before radios, but with flags. Or, you know, they could do Morse code and things like that, which you can even do with light, with flashing light, not necessarily with sound. So, how do they manage to do so badly? Well, it was a sort of a running battle. Eventually, obviously, Custer's men were surrounded, outnumbered and wiped out. He was known for his long blonde hair. And the thing was then a military officer could have hair down to his shoulders. But the bizarre thing is, within 20 years, that would be regarded as a severe deep breach of discipline and wear a beard. But apparently he cut off his characteristic hair just a few days before the battle. So so Custer, despite being probably one of the most unsuccessful military officers in U.S. history, is also one of the best known precisely for his defeat. That was his last stand. OK, and then he's found shot dead. So was perhaps one of the shots was after he was already dead, because there doesn't appear to be bleeding from there. Yeah, I think he made the mistake of dividing his force in three. When they'd been big enough, they would have had enough firepower. the Native Americans wouldn't have been able to defeat them. I'm not sure what the grand plan was, but yeah, all the bodies were recovered. It was one of the U.S. military horses survived, and perhaps some of them weren't actually killed, were just taken by the other lot. So that was it. So was he very incompetent? But nevertheless, despite this success for the Native Americans resisting the encroachment of the United States, they obviously were eventually defeated. I remember watching a bit of a, what's it called? They Died With Their Boots On, which is some tribute to the U.S. cavalry. And actually, there's George Custer in it, played by that Australian actor Errol Flynn. And anyway, the outro says, a ruthlessly advancing civilization spelt doom to the red race. Well, I agree with that, all apart from the word civilization. Okay, you know, the United States was civilized insofar as there was literacy, soon became the most scientifically, technologically advanced country in the world, had its constitution, in some ways was humane, some cruelty towards it, Native Americans, terrible cruelty towards the African Americans, but yeah, there were at least some people who were saying we have to end these abuses. But the red race would be meant to be the Native Americans, those used to be called Red Indians, as they distinguished from the Indians of India. So goodness, that's it. So some people had to determine how such a disaster befell on them. Some people say, yeah, it was indiscipline, he didn't properly control his men, did he panic, and so on. But that collapsed towards the end. Goodness, so some Native Americans are celebrating this. I remember seeing this in 2006, this satirical poster about it showing Native American warriors saying, Homeland Security, fighting terrorism since 1492, as in saying that the European immigration and indeed in some cases invasion was terrorism. Well, I mean, occasionally it was, because regarding Native Americans as not even humans, like the Declaration of Independence says they're bands of savages who slaughter people without regard to age or sex. Sometimes it's true. Obviously, whites are capable of terrible barbarity as well. Goodness. So that's it. Now, even the U.S. Supreme Court in 1980 ruled that there was some justice to the Sioux Nation fighting against the United States, and it found that the United States had confiscated the Black Hills, which belonged to the Sioux people, without adequate compensation. And then the U.S. government offered whatever that sum of money was, but the Sioux Nation declined it and said they wanted to still control the land. So that's it. So although the Sioux had firearms and so on, they, as I say, they were often more antiquated. They hadn't been properly trained. A shortage of ammunition. So got a hand it to them for their valor, even if you disagree with their cause. Right, anyway, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate PayPal, georgecallan7@gmail.com. Goodbye.